Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Dawn B., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Southern California. Today's Tuesday, December 7th, 2021, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we're reading from the Big Book, and we're on page 151, the second paragraph. It starts with, "The less people tolerated us." We're going to be reading and commenting on that one paragraph only. Today's readers are the 12 Steps, Bonnie B., 12 Traditions, Mary P., Reader of the Text, Stephanie L., Robin P. will read page 164, and our backup reader is Dana P. The reference number for Monday, December 6, 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 18,194. That's 18194. And for this morning, Tuesday, December 7th, 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, the reference number is 18,199. That's 18199. Our newcomer greeter this morning will be Gwen N., and Shelley E. will do the announcements. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on our outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, "Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers." At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I'll now ask Bonnie B. to read the 12 steps. Good morning, Bonnie.
Good morning, Dawn. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can. Mm-hmm.
Thank you so much. Thank you for your service. Good morning, everyone. Bonnie B. from Minnesota, but currently in Minnesota. Currently in Florida. Here are the 12 steps. We admitted we were powerless over food. Their lives had become unmanageable. Step two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Step three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. Step four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Step five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Step six, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Step seven, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. Step eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Step nine, made direct amends to such people whenever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. Step 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. Step 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. And step 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all of our affairs. Once again, Bonnie B. from Minnesota, recovered, and I will pass. Thank you for allowing me to serve.
Thank you so much, Bonnie B. I'll now ask Mary P. to read the 12 traditions. Good morning, Mary.
Good morning. This is Mary P. in Austin, Texas, and these are the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you for letting me be of service, and I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Mary P. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass. Then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker's should be muted. Today we resume our study of the Big Book, and we're on page 151, the second paragraph, The Less People Tolerated Us, reading and commenting on that one paragraph only. I'll now ask Stephanie L. to begin reading. Good morning, Stephanie.
Good morning, everyone. Stephanie L., recovered compulsive overeater in Southern California. The less people tolerated us, the more we withdrew from society, from life itself. As we became subjects of king alcohol, shivering denizens of his mad realm, the chilling vapor that is loneliness settled down. It thickened, ever becoming blacker. Some of us sought out sordid places, hoping to find understanding, companionship, and approval. Momentarily, we did, and then would come oblivion and the awful awakening to face the hideous four horsemen. Terror, bewilderment, frustration, despair. Unhappy drinkers who read this page will understand. And this is, there's so much in this paragraph. Just kind of starting with the beginning, the less people tolerated us. And I can just reference most recently for me, I'm about 10 and a half months out of a 2-year relapse. And, you know, I was emotional, depressed. I would make plans with my family and with people and I would blow them off. I wouldn't return phone calls. People stopped calling. luckily people in program kept calling, but other people stopped calling. And I withdrew more and more and more. And then it says we become subjects of king alcohol I became completely dependent on compulsive overeating to survive. And I looked up the word denizen. So it says we became subjects of king alcohol, shivering denizens. Denizens, it means occupants. So I am bowing down to food. Food had become my master, like it says in Bill's story. Alcohol had become his master. Food was my master. And you know, I became lonely and it became dark. And, you know, it says here, it thickened, even becoming blacker. And that's what happens. Like, this is a, for me, when I begin to compulsively overeat, it's like a soul sickness. Inside, I withdraw, it becomes darker and blacker, and I can't find a way out, right? And then it says, you know, I compulsively overeat, I'm stuck in this cycle of doom, and then comes the oblivion and the awful awakening, the four horsemen, the terror, oh my God. What am I doing to myself? I keep gaining weight. I gained 110 pounds in relapse. I could barely walk down the street. I could barely take care of myself. You know, the terror, the bewilderment. Why am I here? What am I doing to myself? Why can't I stop? And the frustration, you know, what the hell is happening to me? And then the only solution is to continue to eat, is to numb myself out and go back to that darkness and that loneliness and that you know, that never-ending hell. And, you know, this paragraph is me. It was me before I came to OA when I didn't understand why I was different and I didn't understand why I didn't have the willpower to stay on a diet. I didn't understand why I ate differently than other people. And then I got here and I understood it and I was recovered and I relapsed and I was thrown back, pulled down back into that wasteland and that darkness. And, you know, that's not living. It just isn't. And so I'm just going to finish with, that's not where I am today by the grace of God and this program. And thank you for letting me share, and I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Stephanie L., for getting us started. I'm now going to be opening up the lines to take the names of people who would like to share on this paragraph. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So who would like to share with us?
Arlene B., Los Angeles.
Arlene
Debbie
B.
Debbie N., Ohio.
Debbie N.?
Donna. Tammy M.
Was that Donna?
Yes, Donna B., thank you.
Donna
Tammy
B.
Tammy M.
Tammy M. Okay, I have Arlene B., Debbie N., Donna B., and Tammy M. Did I miss anyone? Okay, let's go ahead. Arlene, please get us started.
Hi, Arlene B. from Los Angeles, California. What a powerful, powerful paragraph, and thank you for the last share. You know, I'm 2 months abstinent, and, well, you know, today, since I woke up this morning, I've been abstinent, and through my prayers and meditations and my meetings, I pray that I will be abstinent today. This paragraph reminded me, I've had many relapses in the program, many, reminded me of quite a few years ago. I was at a meeting sitting around and talking to a woman. I was not abstinent. And I said, why can't I stop? And, you know, I've had sponsors say, fight it. And, wow, so much of my life has been spent in that place. And that paragraph just so aptly described it. And I am so grateful that I am abstinent today. I always tell my sponsor when I'm in the food, conversations are all about the food and how can I stop. And when I'm abstinent, the conversations are about life and what's going on. And that paragraph just said it all. And I'm so grateful and filled with emotion and so glad that I could be up at 7 a.m. and listen to this meeting. Thank you all for being here, and I look forward to other shares. And I pass.
Thank you so much, Arlene B. from California. Debbie N., please share with us, followed by Donna B., and if you'd like, please let us know where you're calling from so members on our list can look you up and contact you if they'd like. Go ahead, Debbie N.
Good morning. This is Debbie N. from Ohio.
appreciative of the opportunity to share, and thank you all of you for your service in this meeting. This paragraph is essential in that it reminds me that while my past may explain some things, it doesn't have to define my future. I learned about OA 15 years ago this coming January, and I knew I belonged. This was indeed the solution I so desperately had desired to control my eating and weight. Amazingly, God freed me from the desire for sugar before my first meeting or even work in a single step, and I've kept that freedom to this day. My first meeting was January 13th of 2007. I got a sponsor, and I worked the program using the Howell method, and within a year, I'd lost over 115 pounds, about half of what I had weighed. I thought I had arrived. I began to think I was the exception in OA, that I could rely on my own willpower, that I had this under control. Well, the reality was I had just gotten on the roller coaster and ended up with relapse after relapse, the worst being with sugar-free foods. Fortunately, by God's grace, I did not and have never returned to sugar, and that in itself is a miracle. Although I had lost over 150 pounds all those years, I had fluctuated between gaining and losing 15 to 25 pounds, never reaching the goal I had set for myself. It was clear that I had not arrived, and I was not the exception. I was a compulsive eater, plain and simple. In January of this year, things took a turn. I was introduced to A Vision for You, and I quickly realized I had been working a food plan and not the 12 steps. I learned about my twofold disease more clearly and more articulately, that the allergy of the body and the twist of the mind and the need to identify and abstain from my alcoholic foods and behaviors. I worked with a sponsor and went through the 12 steps, the big book way. Today, I practice total abstinence and work a spiritual program, living daily in steps 10, 11, and 12, which has led me to the gift of the first four promises. One, we are going to know a new freedom and a new happiness. Two, we will not regret the past nor wish to shut the door on it. Three, we will comprehend the word serenity. And four, we will know peace. I'm so grateful to Vision and these phone calls and the program, The Big Book Way, and the gift of peace and serenity and freedom and realizing the past but not living it anymore. And with that, I pass.
Thank you so much, Debbie N. from Ohio. Donna B., will you share with us, followed by Tammy N.?
Good morning. This is Donna B., a recovered compulsive overeater and bulimic, calling from Denver. And my name is spelled D-A-N-A, but pronounced Donna. This paragraph certainly reminds me of my life before OA. Perfectly. But I also experienced a lot of this in the rooms of OA. And I've shared before on this, but I think that it's worth sharing again. Once I identified my alcoholic food ingredients, I was able to abstain from those. That every 3 to 4 weeks, I would have an episode of volume eating where I would eat a ton of food that was actually on my food plan. Fruit, protein, those types of foods. And after I would have an episode of volume eating, I would still feel the remorse, the shame, the regret. And although I never had a plan to end my life, I often lived with the feeling, when is this going to be over? How long can I live like this? So I was never entirely free of despair. And about 4 years ago, I met a woman in the rooms who laid it out to me. She said, You are not abstinent. If you are volume eating, you are not adhering to a food plan. Your mind is not clear, and you will never get the promises outlined in the steps if you continue to eat in that way. So, with the help of my higher power and the fellowship and a lot of white knuckling, to be totally and completely honest. I was able to stop volume eating. And that has made the difference in my program. And now I'm free of this horrible, horrible place of terror, bewilderment, frustration, and despair. It isn't rainbows and butterflies all the time, but it certainly is a lot better. And I can absolutely see the promises working in my life. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Donna B. from Colorado. And now we're going to have Tammy M. share with us. But before she shares, I just would like to let everybody know that we're on page 151, the second paragraph, that starts with, "The less people tolerated us," and we're commenting on that one paragraph only. So after Tammy M. shares, I'll be opening up the line to take more names. So go ahead, Tammy. Please share with us.
Hi, thank you. I'm Tammy M. From Illinois. Wow, this paragraph is a powerful one. I remember before I came into OA, I was really into my disease, and I would really withdraw a lot, and because I would just eat and eat, and I felt everything. I felt lonely, and I just felt a lot of despair, and would isolate myself. I was in my highest weight. But once I got a sponsor and found my higher power, I have 5 years of abstinence now. I really am connected to God right now. And my sponsor is really great. I've told my story already on a couple meetings and telling it again in December. And the program of OA is abstinent. I go to lots of meetings. I love this meeting too. And by the grace of God, I'm still abstinent. And I just want to say it's awesome. And my higher power is awesome. And I am just remaining abstinent one day at a time with my higher power and working the actions of the program. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you so much, Tammy M. from Illinois. And now I'm going to open up the lines to take more names of people who would like to share on this paragraph. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So who would like to share with us?
Reggie O.
Reggie O.
Christy M.
Christy M. Okay, Reggie O., why don't you go ahead and share with us, please?
Okay, thanks so much for your service. My name is Reggie O., gratefully recovered here for the third day in Pipe Creek, Texas. And, you know, I related to some of this, although I was not conscious of my eating problem for a very long time. And I, you know, from heartfully felt, I used to call my mother when I first learned about compulsive overeating that I had a compulsive overfeeder for a mother. So eating a lot and two and three and four servings of various things was perfect and natural. She, you know, this is not her fault, but she didn't eat. She would stand there, pots and pans in hand, you know, waiting for me to clean the pots for her. And you know, I certainly had the physical allergy. Something about the food would just, I don't know, it would kind of like mesmerize me, particular food, you know. And the first thing I remember was white bread and milk in the back seat of my car. And but you know, I didn't really have any eating buddies. I just ate, you know, I ate wherever I was. I wasn't particularly self-conscious about it until I became self-conscious. And that was a time when I didn't have a weight problem. I was an avid athlete, you know, and somebody, I was after a basketball game, and one of my team members, we went out for a buffet, and she said, "Boy, you really eat a lot." And I remember feeling so ashamed and embarrassed, and I thought, wow. I was mid-20s maybe, late 20s, I don't remember. And then a housemate mentioned that to me once about how I was eating her out of house and home. I didn't have a clue. I was just did it, you know. But I soon came to, but I, the rest of my compulsive eating was done in solitude, not out in the world, you know, because I knew what would happen once I started, I think, you know, especially after program. And so I would just hide away, and I eventually, rather than seeking out sordid places, my sordid place is buying a television again and sitting in front of my television and just eating and surfing and eating and surfing. And I didn't go to stop socializing because I felt, what if I have an attack of compulsive overeating and I would have to, and I couldn't eat that way in front of my friends. So I just, it became more of a, an opposite. Isolating. And I remember once I ate compulsively by choice with my sister, and it strangely felt intimate. It was like, you know, sharing some part of myself, and I guess she was too, that we never had before, you know. And but that was only that one time. And then there was and then there was program, you know, where I got, you know, I really got something was the matter, and I had identified my problem before I found program, you know, that I was an alcoholic with food. And then there was program, and I've been recovered. I've eaten, you know, in many of the years that I've been in program, but my eating has mostly always been done in solitude and hiding. So I don't want to hide anymore. That's, you know, that's my terror, bewilderment, frustration, and despair is when I hide and eat and keep myself out of the world. And, you know, I don't have to do that today. And I can share with you all and know that you get it, your own version of it. And so grateful to be recovered today. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, Reggie O. from Texas. And now, Christy M., please share with us, and then I'll be taking some more names of people who'd like to share. Go ahead, Christy.
Yeah, good morning. This is Christy M., recovering bulimic, anorexic, and compulsive overeater in Oregon. And I think what really stood out to me about this passage and thinking about the four horsemen is, like, the four horsemen isn't food. You know, for me, I would have thought it'd be like, you know, baked goods or something, but that's not what the four horsemen are. It's emotion. And I think when you know, when I came to this program, yeah, I thought the solution was going to be, you know, a diet or, you know, some steps I could follow, not necessarily spiritual steps. I wanted it to be very, you know, pragmatic, that if I did these certain behaviors, you know, I would get better, or I would lose weight, or I wouldn't struggle. But, you know, the more I've gotten into the program, the more I've gotten into recovery, the four horsemen are like my emotions. It's like this affliction of your emotions and spiritual self. And, you know, like we talk about, and I think in the 10th step, about being, you know, dishonest and fearful and resentful, and how those are the first symptoms of my disease. It's when I start to feel like I want to eat, or when I start to get into my eating disorder, I'm already like three steps away from the four horsemen. Like I'm already trying to go to the solution. And so a lot of my recovery has been, you know, as I stop using the food and stop numbing, is to start to recognize like my own emotions. You know, what am I feeling? And to use different tools other than food to manage my emotions and to manage my problems. So, you know, last night I was struggling with an immense amount of resentment, and my solution to that, and normally would have, I just had a rough week, and my solution would have normally been food, and that would have been just automatic. And talking to my sponsor, she asked me to 12-step it instead. So I think this is part of recovery, and the journey for me is starting to recognize the four horsemen in my life before I turn to the food. And then using the tools of the program and the 12 steps, like calling a sponsor, going to a meeting, you know, the tool of writing, to start dealing with those emotions as they come up when they're overwhelming. So I just thought that was interesting, because what brought me in here, the Four Horsemen for me would have been like a you know, it would have been food, but really underneath the food is the emotions. It's the spiritual journey. It's the emotional journey. And I am developing the tools to deal with that without having to turn to the food. So thank you, and I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Christy M. from Oregon. And now we're going to open up the lines to take more names. We are on page 151, the second paragraph. Starts with, the less people tolerated us. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your shared every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So who would like to share with us today?
Kelly H.
Kelly
Tiffany
H.
P.
Tiffany P.
Jody E.
Okay, I have Kelly H., Tiffany P., and Jody E. Kelly H., please go ahead and share with us.
Oh, good morning. Thank you so much for your service and for the reading. Such a great paragraph. My name is Kelly H. from North Carolina, and I am a compulsive overeater. And in this paragraph, there's just some really interesting wordplay here that really captured me. First of all, I am powerless over food compulsion and compulsive behavior, for sure. But just because I'm powerless, it doesn't mean that I am choiceless. In my disease, I can absolutely choose to go to sordid places. It doesn't mean I have power not to, but there implies that there's some choice-making at play in the disease. So I can choose to face powerlessness and run to my higher power, or I can choose to go to and, you know, seek out sordid places. In my thinking, I'm highly motivated to find understanding, companionship, and approval. Like that, I'm placing great hope to do that. However, just like we have promises in our recovery, the disease has promises too. The disease promises that we will understand, that we will be unhappy eaters, that we will absolutely understand that while we hope to find understanding, companionship, and approval, we will absolutely understand that instead of that, we will encounter the hideous Four Horsemen: terror, bewilderment, frustration, and despair. So if I understand that now as a recovered woman in this program, it is absolutely insane that I would run back to food and think that I can flirt with the edges of my food plan, I woke up too late, I can't do my 11th step. It's absolutely insane. And if I understand that I have a proclivity towards insanity, then I have to decide to work this program every day, because my autopilot will make me choose to stay in this disease. So just some personal reflection. Thanks for the reading, and just powerful this morning. Thank you all for your shares. With that, I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Kelly H. from North Carolina. And now, Tiffany P., will you share with us, please?
Hi, this is Tiffany P. in Texas, recovered compulsive overeater. You know, this paragraph is very much step one, or that's what I get out of it. You know, some of us sought out sordid places, hoping to find understanding, companionship, and approval. And then the very next three words, momentarily we did. To me, that speaks of like the payoff that I get when I'm in the food, right? Whether it be 4 seconds or 4 minutes, that first bite that I take and I sigh and it feels like, you know, all of my problems have fled from me, right? All of the whatever it was that I was feeling, the fear, the resentment, whatever it was, you know, that doesn't matter in that moment when I've taken that bite. Right. And then, you know, as one of the sayings in programs goes, then the bite takes me, right? And then I'm in oblivion and I can't stop, right? And that moment of approval that I got or felt that I got from the food takes over. And, you know, the awful awakening, literally, I remember, you know, waking up mornings and the first thought before I even opened my eyes was, I can't believe I did that again last night. You know, the self-disgust, the self-loathing, the hatred that I felt because, you know, I pigged out on food the night before, right? And the queasiness in my stomach. And then the despair of thinking like, okay, I'm not going to do it again today. But in the back of my mind thinking, how am I not going to do it again today? Like I've said that the last however many days in a row, you know, like, and I've tried to stop and I, you know, use the tools and try to make calls and how do I not do that again? So I don't wake up the next morning feeling this hatred and frustration and loathing for myself. You know, and that last sentence, unhappy drinkers who read this page will understand, that is a reminder to me that, you know, I have to be able to identify what my step one looked like for me so that, you know, the name of the chapter, A Vision for You, so that I can carry this message to another compulsive overeater so that they hopefully can identify somewhat with my story. Because if they can identify, then maybe they can find some hope, in these steps, right, and working this program and get, you know, the peace, right, the opposite of the terror, the bewilderment, the frustration, which to me are the bedevilment, right, that the promises that this book throughout these first 164 pages tells us. You know, if I can pinpoint my step one and carry that message to someone, then maybe it'll help them get to their step one and the necessity for the rest of the step work. That's all I wanted to share. Thank you. I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Tiffany P. from Texas. Now, Jody E., please share with us, and then I'll be opening up the lines to take some more names. Good morning, Jody.
Good morning, Dawn, and good morning, everyone. This is Jody E., gratefully recovered in California today. So this paragraph makes me think of, first of all, those terrible times in my marriage when I was in the food to such an extent that my husband and my mother-in-law became intolerant of me. They didn't necessarily know I was in the food because I was always hiding it, but they knew I was withdrawing from them, that I was isolating, I wasn't intimate with them. I wasn't present with them. And after a period of time being so unpresent, you know, it takes a toll on relationships. And at times my husband was very intolerant of me. It also makes me think of the time just before I found Overeaters Anonymous, which was my blackest time. I was somewhat in the food, but not even all that terribly in the food. I was just, I was experiencing the four horsemen, terror, bewilderment, frustration, and despair, both from the food and also from a spiritual void, a spiritual emptiness. It was a combination of those things, and I felt like I might end up taking my own life eventually. I wasn't actually planning it, but I could see that I might follow in my mother's footsteps that way. And then I found Overeaters Anonymous, and I had a spiritual awakening from my first meeting, knowing deep in my core that I had found what I needed, the 12 steps. A blueprint for living that I sorely lacked. A higher power. I found hope. I had tremendous hope. But this is a terrible place to be. It is lonely. It is bewildering. It is terrifying. And for anyone who is there, know that you don't have to go farther down if you don't want to. You can stop that downward spiral now, pick up these spiritual tools and join us, and we'll be happy to help you. And with that, I pass.
Thank you so much, Jody E. from California. And now I'm going to be opening up the lines. We are on page 151, the second paragraph, The Less People Tolerated Us. And we're commenting on that one paragraph today. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your shared every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So who would like to share with us?
I'm sorry to interrupt, but do you have to have an abstinence to be able to share?
Nope, no abstinence requirement for sharing.
Okay, can I share?
Andy.
Sure. And what was your name?
Babylonia A.
Okay, Babylonia. Okay, Babylonia A. And who else did I hear?
Nina R.
Nina R. Okay,
Diane B.
And Diane B. We'll hope to have time for you, Diane B. Okay, go ahead, Babylonia A. Please share with us.
Well, I heard a lot of great. I've been abstinent for 9 days. I've been in the program for about 90 days, but I relapsed last Saturday, so I'm trying to work my program harder and be of service more. Sometimes I don't know if my service is people-pleasing and codependency or really helping other people, but I'm talking to my sponsor about it, and she's giving me clarity, so I'm grateful for that. I heard on the meeting today to write, so I took out my journal, and I'm going to write about a resentment I have towards my mom and hence step it to my sponsor, but I really think that's one of the reasons that I'm obsessed with food is because I have this feeling inside of me that's not like pure, or it's not like the sunlight of the spirit. So I want to be free from it. And I know that I'm creating this resentment because of my character defects and my desire to control or whatever else that is in my mind. But I'm really grateful for this program. I have another friend who's a compulsive overeater, and she's not in the program, and she's constantly texting me about how she's binging, and I don't really know how to handle it. I just tell her to keep getting back up, but I've told her about program, but I don't want to push it on her, but it kind of, I guess I have this feeling of superiority because I'm like, well, look how hard I'm working. Why aren't you doing something about it? But I think she's just not ready for program and doesn't really realize that she can't do it on her own and that it's a disease. So I'm taking it one day at a time. I hope I can have as much abstinence as some of the people in this meeting. I think that's like incredible, and I want to come into the promises, and that's what I keep telling myself when the food cravings come. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you, Babylonia A. Now, Nina R., please share with us, followed by Diane B. Go ahead, Nina. Press star one, Nina.
Hi, this is Nina R. from New York, anorexic bulimic. Thanks for your service. It's been a great meeting. The reading is almost like a paradox in this program. I'm sober too, and of course, every time I got out of hand with alcohol and drugs, I was less tolerated. But because of my anorexia and bulimia, I feel as though the reason why it's taking me 25 years to do it differently is because I was still like tolerated and loved, and that almost enabled me. And because I was always thin, food was like given to me, you know, it was just handed to me, like eat, and eat I did, you know, because I was also like a really low bottom bulimic, and but my disease isolated me because I wanted to be alone. I felt comfort in substance, and I didn't know I could get comfort by connecting to people, and that's what recovery has allowed me to see, that I don't need to find refuge in any kind of destructive behavior. I can, you know, feelings are not going to kill me, and I have a choice today, and I do know that feeling of waking up after binging and purging and starving, and, you know, I can't tolerate people, I hate people, I'm impatient, and so just the ugly defects of character that are just, like, magnified in me. And, of course, I have the defects of character, and I can love the defects of character or embrace them, but, you know, the magnification of them are just intolerable. And, you know, someone said you don't have to go down any further, and you don't. There is help out there. You know, there are people in these rooms that are really compassionate and have been where you've been before.
Okay.
So thanks for being there for me.
Thank you, Nina R. from New York. And now, Diane B., if you'd like to share, we have like a minute and a half.
Sure. Thank you so much, Dawn. Appreciate your service and all those that have been on the line today. So I just looked up sorted places in my little dictionary on my phone, and it had definitions, but one that really hit me was covetous. And that definitely is one of my character defects. And I get those feelings of not having enough, not being enough, not enough, and wanting what other people have. And so I have to watch that like a hawk, because that's definitely something that takes me to places where I don't belong. But the biggest thing that stood out to me today is that when I am trying to find understanding, companionship, and approval, I need to go straight to God. He's the one that I need to go to find those things. And when I am willing to turn to Him and ask Him to help me to please feel full of God's love for me, then I feel full. And so then I don't have to go to the place to find the oblivion in the food. I can find oblivion in peace and love when I turn to God. And so instead of looking sideways at other people, I look up towards Him, and then He takes care of those problems that I have and the insecurity that I have. And I'm just so grateful for this program, and I pass.
Thank you so much, Diane B. from California. We're now going to close with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Robin P. please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Yes, thank you. Hi, this is Robin P. I'm a very grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater in Costa Rica. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask Him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who's still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with Him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to Him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you. Until then, amen.